Now, when I joined Divine Light Mission, it was not necessary. And when I joined with Miraji, in terms of, I felt it was like becoming a collaborator in a joint effort. It was his mission, but by adopting it, it also became my mission. And the reason I could feel that way is because it was not necessary to look at Miraji as a God figure in those days. There were always some who did think of Miraji. Some of them thought of him as even greater than God. In fact, I don't know whether you were around in those days, but a lot of the Indians had banners that said, Guru is greater than God. And of course, to me, this was just a semantical difference in terms of the Vedantic tradition as opposed to the Judeo-Christian tradition in the way that we thought of God. But to me, the Guru, and Miraji spent a lot of time in the early days denying that he was God,
yeah.
And stating that the Guru was, in fact, just someone who showed you God, and therefore, you know, it was important in the process of realization, but and critical, in fact, in the process of realization. But nonetheless, he made no claims to be what he was revealing. What he was revealing was there within inside us all along. He experienced it. We could experience it. It was on that level that I was believing. So consequently, when I saw the kinds of personal problems that Miraji had, it didn't make me feel like I had to give everything up. I felt that what had to happen was that things had to be changed. That the kinds of conditions that had been created as a result of the way the Divine Light Mission had been operated by Miraji's mother, and which he had essentially inherited and had been programmed into as a young boy, had to be changed for his own well-being and for the well-being of the Premis, too. Because by the time that, after I became international director, we'd never had an international organization before. And consequently, every problem, everything that was going on in the world, if there was a problem amongst the Premis, it would end up on my desk. Okay, prior to going to Miraji. And I had to try and bring things to his attention because we were able to start monitoring after, this was like 4 or 5 years after the Divine Light Mission had been started in the West, we were able to start really beginning to evaluate some of our programs. And some of them were not good, especially the ashram program was causing people to be more inept. Many people, not everyone, but many people were becoming less capable as individuals rather than becoming more capable as we had purported that they would be as a result of realizing this knowledge. There were people who were being essentially psychologically and economically exploited. And I would bring these things to his attention, and he wouldn't want to deal with it. He would put it off for weeks, months, sometimes, you know, just not deal with it at all. And he would go and get drunk instead. Almost on a daily basis, he would rise in the morning and, you know, by early afternoon, on a typical day, he was already drinking. And he drank heavily, not just beer or wine, he drank cognac, and he drank it to the point that he was stewed every evening. And there were more than one occasion that we had to pick him up and carry him to bed after he had passed out. And that kind of thing, you know, that kind of lifestyle, I mean, I was very, very busy during all this time. You know, it's not like the only thing that I had to do was to sit around and deal with Miraji. Miraji had given me so much responsibility that I was literally working almost all the time. But nonetheless, a lot of what I had to do had to go through him, because he would make demands on the financial resources of Divine Light Mission and of the Premis that had far-reaching consequences that I would have to talk to him about, and he usually never cared. He never cared to know the consequences of his actions. He just knew what he wanted, and that was it. He wanted it, and I was to figure out some way to get it for him. And so, anyway, it ultimately all came to a point for me, you know, when after he had like I said, he had degenerated physically to the point that he was having these fainting spells. We had had it diagnosed and found out that there was no physical cause for it. It was psychosomatic. It was just obvious that he was living with too much stress. He hated to hear about the Premis. I felt that this burden of playing God for people was killing him, as well as being injurious to the Premis. And we had agreed, essentially, to change things. This was around the beginning of 1976, and for a few months we tried to change things, and what it really came down to was that Miraji was not willing to take the financial risk involved, because I had set up a program to use the tax-free income that he was getting in gifts from the Premies to create a program of investment for him so that ultimately he could live off of his invested capital and not need to have the Premies keep making incredible contributions to him, not need to have Divine Light Mission giving so much of its money to him to maintain his lifestyle. In other words, he would be financially independent, therefore he would no longer have the necessity of having them believe that he was God so that he could count on all of their donations.